Welcome to The Craft of Preaching, an online conference hosted by Luther Seminary, October 5th through 7th, 2020. This workshop by Jenny Grangard and Tom Witt is titled Gathering in Community Across the Digital Divide.
It's so good to see you all here. Thank you for your presence and coming into our workshop. We're excited to engage this topic all together. Welcome in the name of Christ. Together in real time from many different locations. As Katie said, I'm Jenny Grangard, and with me today is Tom Witt, one of our chapel staff musicians. And we're going to start out with an opening litany.
So we ask you to please unmute your microphones and join us in the bold responses. Come, all who are weary of social distancing and housebound isolation, world news that goes from bad to worse, divisions that alienate us from each other.
Come rest in the arms of love.
Come, all who are heavy laden with too much, with too little, with anxiety and fear, with frustration or anger.
Come rest in the arms of love.
Come, all who have hope for liberation and justice, for peace and freedom, for restoration and new life.
Come rest in the arms of love.
Here you will find mercy. Here you will find grace. Here you will find arms outstretched in embrace.
Here we rest in the arms of love.
Now we ask you to mute your microphones, but not your voices, as we sing. Listen first. Come rest in the arms of mercy. Come rest in the arms of love. Join me. Come rest in the arms of mercy. Come rest in the arms of love. Come you for whom hope is fading. Rest in the arms of love together. Come you for whom hope is fading. Come rest in the arms of love. Take refuge from all distraction. Come rest in the arms of love. Take refuge from all distraction. Come rest in the arms of love. Come feel what is still within you. Come rest in the arms of love. Come feel what is still within you. Rest in the arms of love.
Let us pray. O God, your mercy comes to us again in this new day, gathered together across the miles and distances to learn more about how we work our craft, how we preach this gospel, how we live in community even now, especially now. Guide us, we pray, in our work, that we may not be overcome or overwhelmed, but that at each day we find rest in the arms of your mercy, that we find rest in the arms of your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as a way of introducing, you've heard who we are, but we want to hear who you are. So if you could put in the chat at the bottom of your Zoom page here, who you are and where you're serving, and we'll know who's gathered here among us. And just a warm word of welcome this day. Now, I know that all of us have been living in this same world where one day we were worshiping in person and the next we had to move somewhere else. For us at the seminary, it was a Friday, March 13th. I can remember it. It was Lent. And we had a worship service that day, and the whole tone of the day felt like this. Should we be worshiping? Is it safe in here? Can I have some of that hand sanitizer? Let's make sure we sit 6 feet apart. By the end of worship, I had a plan set to our board and our leaders to say, we can't keep meeting this way. Out of safety for one another and care for our community, we need to switch to something else. And by Monday, we had moved online. It was a fast change and one we're still catching up with and still learning about. That's just part of our story that I know branches into your story. We want to talk to you today about how we do worship in this time together, how we bring the preached word and song and prayer into our communities while we have to be so far apart. Now, at the seminary, we both do live and pre-recorded worship. If you watch Jared's sermon this morning, that was a chapel offering. Our chapel team was able to team with the faith lead team to create this worship service today and tomorrow and the next day. And so that's an example of some pre-recorded stuff we've done. And there are other chapel videos available. We also tend to focus, though, however, on live worship. And there's some reasons for that. Now, they both have their advantages and disadvantages and can both work well. Today, though, we're going to talk about why live worship. And Bergen's going to pop up a poll for you all, and we'll ask, how does your community gather for worship during the pandemic? So that's going to pop up here, hopefully, in just a moment.
Hey, Tom. I just wanted to, I'm imagining that most services being held are recorded in advance. But as Jenny said, there's nothing wrong with that. I feel like there are a few things that just hold up about worshiping live at this particular time. Just three things I've got. One is holding that space and time for worship where the majority of the community gathers together, even if at a distance. I think that's important not to lose that. I'm more attracted to that than putting out a pre-recorded video and saying you could watch this whenever you want at your convenience. That's not at all wrong, but it's hard enough for me to be separated by space, but then to also be separated by time and have that feeling that you're watching alone. I think that can make people feel a little more isolated than having everyone gather at the same time. Now, of course, having Facebook Live watch parties or YouTube premieres can help where people can watch together and make live comments. That can help. But at some point, we're going to go back to in-person worship. And I think worshiping live at a particular time helps us make that transition back. Secondly, I also think worshiping live enables your worship to be as contextual as possible. I think about this summer here in Minneapolis after the George Floyd murder and the protests in the Twin Cities. If our services had been pre-recorded, even just a few days pre-recorded, they would have really missed the mark and there would have been a disconnect with the sermon, with the hymns chosen, with the prayers. One of my musician colleagues, who's at a large suburban church, he records all of his hymns 3 to 4 weeks out. Extremely organized, very impressive. The sound quality is really excellent. It's not quite as contextual. Again, I think I would say the same thing even if we weren't talking about online worship. Someone who writes their sermon a week or two out isn't going to be speaking as contextually as someone who writes their sermon 1 or 2 days out. That's assuming that part of the word you're breaking open is the word on the street. Thirdly, I know that some folks don't like online worship because too much can go wrong. And I feel you on this. I've had many things go wrong. But I still like live worship. Even live worship that has glitches, to me, can feel less performative. It doesn't necessarily feel that way, but it can. I think the danger in getting caught up in producing a more professional looking recorded worship video with quality transitions and multiple camera angles, it can feel like more of a performance than the community gathering together to remember and act out their most deeply held values. It's hard enough for me as a musician to lead a song when I can't hear anyone singing. But it's even harder when I know that that no one is even there. And I'm just singing into a recording microphone for worship at some later point. That feels more like performance than worship leading. And for the people I know, at least, they're not yearning for more produced videos as much as they're yearning for connection. They're yearning for the body of Christ to be together. And this is where Zoom in particular has the ability to increase our participation by enabling multiple people in different roles. But clearly everything that you do live can be posted so that could be viewed later by people who can't be there. But the difference is they've missed the live worship and are watching a recording rather than everyone watching a recording. I'll just pause here and see if Jenny wants to add anything before I move on.
I just echo, Tom, what you said about the pre-recording, and especially around the George Floyd death this May. We had recorded the baccalaureate service for commencement a week, 2 weeks ahead of time, and everything changed. And one thing that was really helpful to convey was that everything had been recorded earlier. And when it came to the time of the prayers, we also added in live the contextualized prayers from the time, praying for justice and mercy and peace. But it was really a huge disconnect for us. And also there's this, you put in three times the work sometimes with a pre-recorded thing, but it's half as, do you guys resonate with this? Three times the work, but it's as half as meaningful as it can feel like, because you're not sure where the engagement and the connection is. So you're going to move us on to the platforms, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things we aren't addressing as much in this workshop is in-person worship or outdoor worship. And maybe we can talk about that later on in the workshop. But I thought I would just highlight sort of the few platforms and their advantages and disadvantages. I'll just start with Zoom. The advantage in my mind for Zoom worship is seeing the community gathered. I'm a musician at the seminary here at Augsburg College, or Augsburg University, and then also at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. And at Our Savior's, we were on Facebook Live for several months at the beginning of the pandemic, which worked well, but also found that some really yearned for more connection with each other. So for a couple of months, changed over to Zoom, where people really saw each other during worship and felt like they were part of a community. And this amazingly included people who had seen people who had been shut in for a long time and hadn't been to the church building for ages. We saw them, as well as people who had recently moved away or had formerly been members. So the visual advantage of seeing each other live shouldn't be discounted. As I said, increased participation would be another. Multiple people participating in speaking roles from different locations. For instance, a reading that uses multiple voices, or a litany with several people taking turns. One person leading the prayers, another doing a lesson, another preaching. A pastor at my church does a children's message on Zoom and asks the kids to come up close and unmute and then ask them questions like they might be when they're in person. I also think that some corporate ritual actions can really work on Zoom. During some evening services, we ask people to bring a candle, to hold it up so that all on the Zoom screens are lighted by small candles during a particular part of the service. Jenny, I know you've led rituals as well on Zoom.
Yeah, some various objects to use, such as a bowl with water, we did one recently where we added a rock to water and we watched as the water rises, and that was our refrain. So there was both a visual image and sound and also the cacophonous contribution to the community. And then we honored Yom HaShoah, which is a day to remember the Holocaust. And we're able to move onto an image of a live candle while different things were being read. And just the way of bringing in elements was really helpful for ritual.
Yeah, Jenny mentioned cacophonous responses where people are asked to unmute like we did during our beginning and join in together. This works with short responses or with something familiar like the Lord's Prayer. It might be done in a cacophonous way. I also find splitting up people into small groups is quite easy on Zoom. I've seen this used not only during coffee hour to get different people visiting, but and for annual meetings to discuss various topical choices, but also during a sermon time to get people discussing maybe for 5 minutes a question posed by the preacher. And then, of course, I would add the use of PowerPoint slides instead of asking people to print out a bulletin, whether you're printing out the scripture lessons or a music to a hymn or other liturgical pieces or a spoken litany, that can increase participation if people's microphones are muted, they're still participating. And then additionally, I would add that Zoom really opens up some great possibilities without much technical know-how for use of visual images, either accompanying music, or in connection with themes that emerge from a biblical text in a sermon. I think that the opportunity to easily use visual images is something that Zoom's easy to do. Now, we've seen from some of the chat comments here that, you know, Zoom works well if you've got a good internet connection. And I think this is true in some ways for other platforms as well. But I think that's one thing that is changing. Hopefully people are getting better internet connections. If not, we might talk later about, you know, what are solutions when people don't have an internet connection that allows them to participate in Zoom. But I would say a couple tips is just to find one or more tech savvy individuals from your parish to help others who aren't so tech savvy figure out Zoom. This is usually, but not always, older people that have a harder time navigating Zoom, but they also might help figure out how to help someone who doesn't have a device or a suitable internet connection. And then I would highly recommend a better microphone than you might have in your computer. That really does help with the quality in Zoom.
And sometimes, Tom, we've had people have to just turn off their video and they're able to connect in a better way. People miss seeing their faces, but in terms of glitching, that's been one of our troubleshootings on the fly, so that if, you know, somebody's really breaking up, in order to be heard, we have them take their screen off for a time and kind of let their bandwidth catch up.
Yeah, I think too that in some churches, even smaller churches, I mean, part of the budget challenge is figuring out how do we invest in technology that we weren't so worried about 6 or 9 months ago. We weren't worried about having a strong internet signal. We were just getting emails, and now we need to really be upgrading to be able to lead online worship. I'm going to move on just to highlight a little bit about Facebook Live, which is something that many people use. The advantages of Facebook Live would be that the sound and video quality can be much better than on Zoom, even while just using a smartphone for recording, which is what I would recommend as a way to start. If you use a smartphone from your sanctuary, you don't have to have a strong internet signal. You can just use, if assuming you have a good 4G signal, cell signal. It allows you to move to a different part of the church, to the baptismal font for remembrance of baptism, to the musician area for the leading of a hymn, to the ambo for a sermon, etc. Whereas Zoom can be done from various locations. For some people, the ability to have the whole service done live from the sanctuary is really important and makes them feel grounded and connected to a space with which they are familiar and it seems worshipful to them. Facebook Live, as opposed to Zoom, I observe, seems to be somewhat friendlier to newcomers or guests or visitors. Whereas in Zoom, I think non-regular attenders can feel somewhat like they're invading a private gathering. Essentially, they have to join a meeting to which they might not have been invited. On Facebook Live, they can observe or participate a little more anonymously, and I feel much more likely to invite someone to a Facebook Live worship than I do to a Zoom worship for that reason. It's less intimidating for the visitor. A downside, of course, is that you can't see the community gathered. You can see how many are gathered, and if they're encouraged to make themselves known through the comments, you can often see who's gathered. And people can and do make comments throughout the service, especially during the sermon and the passing of the peace, the prayers, in my experience. And that's something that both Zoom and Facebook and YouTube Live have in common, that comments or chat feature, and you can see even in this gathering how much the chat is being used, and it's can't be underestimated as a way for people to become involved in worship, either adding comments about why they're what they're hearing in the sermon, or images that pop up during a scripture passage, or prayers they want to share, or even announcements that need to be made. Jenny, did you want anything about Facebook Live?
I want to have Bergen pop up that next poll. I don't think so. Thanks.
I think I'm not going to spend a lot of time on tips for Facebook Live. A better microphone that will connect to whatever device you're using. But I'll just mention that it's possible with Facebook Live to sort of move beyond just Facebook live stream. If you Google something like OBS, Open Broadcaster Software, it's free. Just Google something like using OBS with Facebook Live and watch some videos about it. I don't want to get too deeply into this, but what it allows you to do really quickly is one, have a couple of cameras instead of one. So you could be pointing to a preacher and another on musicians. OBS allows you to shift between them. Secondly, you can insert into a live stream some pre-recorded content. So maybe the whole service is live, but the preacher is outside somewhere on St. Francis Day in a field preaching, you can pre-record that and have that streamed in. And then thirdly, you can configure a portion of the screen to show a live service, and then you would have the words of music to a song that's being led or another portion on another part of the screen. So this is a real advantage in that people don't have to really be using a bulletin if there are parts of the liturgy that can be shown on a part of the screen like you might with Zoom using PowerPoint. But that's all I have to say about those technologies. I think YouTube is very similar in terms of its capabilities with live streaming and then posting it afterwards for people to use afterwards. Jenny, I'll hand it off to you.
Thanks, Tom. It's kind of like so much to think about all that stuff, like how we do what we do. We've never really had to do that before. We've had an altar guild who has set the table, who have put out the pyramids, who have made the space, the janitor who has tended to our space. But now we're thinking about space in an all new way. And so thinking about things like YouTube or Zoom or how it works is just another part of the thing that just takes time. And we're going to move on now to talking about word and song and online worship. Word and song and online worship. Now, as mentioned before, right, it takes a lot more work to put something together for an online community, right? It takes a lot more time, a lot more diligence, a lot of really creative thinking. Maybe in the past, you used a gathering word meal sending kind of pattern. I'm going to end this polling real quick. And then, you know, you kind of knew what the flow would be. Somebody would get up and read an Old Testament reading, and then you'd have a psalm, and then you'd have a New Testament reading, and then a gospel acclamation, and then the gospel, and then the sermon. And I don't know about how it's working for you in your communities, and I invite your feedback here in the chat. Do people want to hear all of the readings that are offered that day, or are you guys offering a shorter amount? In our experience, we offer 1 to 2 readings, and we might do something with a psalm and turn it into a song, use some psalmodies for chants, and Tom does a really great job with that. So we're living in a digital world, but I still have my papers. I hope that I have some people who can commiserate with that. So, you know, with the word, right, it's that people can be heard, that you can invite some different speakers of all ages, maybe people who would feel shy to read in front of a church or whatever, but you can really pass the leadership out into the congregation. We are mostly distributed in terms of how our learners learn. I see Amy is here, and Amy is with us from southeastern Michigan, and she's one of our distributed learners. And so, not to just call you out there, Amy, but thinking about how our distributed community is everywhere. And we, in this time, the gift, it's strange to think about a gift in this time, but the gift has been that we can call on our distributed learners wherever they are to read or lead or even to preach. And so that's been a really neat thing that this has opened up for us. And so we have them be involved in different ways in worship. But we tend to stick to 1 to 2 readings. We put it on a screen so people can see the text. So maybe if their audio isn't so great, they're able to follow along with the words. And then, you know, the preaching task is different, but it's still the same, right? We're binding and loosing sins. We're telling God's story of redemption. We're removing obstacles to grace. The task of preaching remains the same, and the rules of preaching remains the same, right? You've got to put in your time still and do the work. Be in the word and root it into your community. But there's this new gift in this time, I think, too, as people's attention and time on screens. We can't just keep people on screens for hours at a time, but it's to keep it short and to keep it simple. And the gift of drawing out the word through images or different ways is a really crucial way to kind of engage people. Because, right, one of the hard things is that you can't quite read people's faces. I can see some of you on the screen, but I can't quite get the sense for how you're feeling and how you're doing. And I wasn't able to greet you at the door, right? And what's going on in the background. It's really hard to know how people are connecting or engaging. And you know, there's this beautiful, beautiful humility that comes maybe in it to know and acknowledge the beautiful way that the word you're preaching is meeting people right where they are, which might be making brunch for their kids, right? As syrup is pouring off the plates and wiping up stuff. But in the midst of that life, as they're carrying this word with them where they are, if that's on Zoom, if that's on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, that your word is meeting them right in their lives, which is kind of awesome. And it can be really cool. So with that, there's just some things to keep in mind, right? That essential work of connecting people and community, of forgiving sin, of anchoring people to faith, hope, love, and trust, and mercy. To keep the camera, like, you want to be connecting with them, right? So keep the camera about eye level. So you're not seeing part of your body or part of this, you know, that you're kind of centered in there. That's really an essential part. Good lighting, which I don't know if I'm a good example of today or not. It's like 50-50 depending on the clouds, but that's kind of fun. To have good lighting to create that atmosphere. And right, that we're always rooting the word in the context that we stand in our communities. The times are changing, and there's a giftedness in it, and also some great grief. And we must acknowledge that grief through rituals of lament and prayer as we delve into the word. And so with that, Tom, I'll turn it back to you.
Thanks, Jenny. I see in the chats that a lot of people are abbreviating some part of their service, not everybody, but most of them are either limiting readings or limiting their sermons to homilies. And you seem to be aware of the Zoom fatigue or the screen fatigue that we're all sort of feeling these days. I wanted to talk a little bit about congregational singing. I know a lot of you probably given up on this, but it's the saddest thing for a church musician is that we feel like we've lost the ability to bring the community together in song. But I feel if that goes too long, people will either forget how to do it or become so used to sitting in front of a screen and being entertained by soloists that they won't want to. So I really try to keep the community engaged as a singing body, particularly if you're interested in them wanting to sing together in the future when we can actually be together. It's very frustrating. I don't pretend there's any magic answer here, but a few things I try to do. On a regular Sunday, we try to include probably more things that are known to the congregation than we would with in-person worship. And hopefully you have been singing a broad and eclectic repertoire before COVID. So that doesn't mean you're only singing old things, but now is probably not the time to challenge your congregation with something really difficult to sing. I usually don't include really long hymns with four or five verses or more. With hymns I do choose, I look at whether a verse or two can be omitted without doing great damage to the hymn. I have colleagues that disagree with me on this and will do the whole hymn because they figure that people have time. I feel pretty strongly that a voice needs to be heard singing in addition to the accompaniment. Just instrumentation doesn't cut it if you want people to sing online. If you have a way of having more than one voice be heard, that's even better. When my colleague, partner Mary Preuss and I lead music online, we still use some song leading techniques that we would use in person, inviting people to listen first. If something might be familiar, then a clear verbal invitation to join in, and then a gesture that invites them to join. Even before COVID, I used a lot more shorter songs and chants in worship, whether it's from the community of Tizé or Iona or some other kind of either paperless or cyclical chant that is part of a litany response or a short psalm refrain. I find these to be easier to pull off during an online worship, especially if they are repeated several times throughout the service. So it ceases to seem new, but can be sung more easily, maybe even by memory after a while. Or if people don't think that works, at least they're not in pain for too long of a time and it's over rather quickly.
There was a question about resources, and it seemed to be the right point to talk about that. Patty right. asked, any suggestions on how to introduce new music while online? I'm thinking about some good material I've heard from the new ELC worship resource, All Creation Sings. Are there other good resources or other ways you would introduce music that might be new?
Well, boy, I'm a big fan of music that makes community. If you just Google that, music that makes community, they're really excellent at teaching song leaders how to learn unfamiliar or new music. And I think that I've not been to their site a lot during COVID, so I don't know if they've got anything new about how to do that online. But I think some of these skills really cross over, whether you're online or in person. You have to have some sort of song leader that teaches the community how to join in singing. And I believe strongly that a vocalist, not a soloist, but a vocal song leader is really helpful in doing that. I'll think more about resources in a minute. I can't think of any particularly right now that are apropos, but liturgical stuff, whether it's the Kyrie or a gospel acclamation or a holy, holy. Again, if these are easier if they change seasonally rather than every Sunday, but I'm committed to keeping at least some of these musical pieces of the liturgy alive. I don't dispose of them just because we're online. And I still put musical notes in front of people in worship. I know this is not just an online issue. I know bunches of congregations have given up on having people read musical notes because fewer people do. But that's a little bit like giving people less scripture because they don't know the scriptures. The church is one of the last places, and in particular the Lutheran church from which I hail, where we sing together with printed music. And I'm not sure this is exactly the right workshop to discuss this further, but I, for one, don't feel like we should give up on exposing people to printed music. Of course, I think there's lots of exceptions to this, depending on the piece of music. We can sing in all sorts of different ways without printed music, but I'm still putting music in front of people. And then just to bring it back to COVID worship, just to say what we do online now is important because it informs what we do when we get back together in person. And this has to do with singing in particular. If we stop singing together, I think it has implications for when we get back together. So Jenny, do you want to add anything or take us forward?
Yeah, I like what you said, that how do we pivot forward? How do we use what we've learned in this time? If we stop singing and training ourselves for singing in community, you know, of course, singing is one of the most dangerous things we can do publicly. And so when we're in, I've seen this in the comments, but there are people who are gathering in person safely, which means you can't sing, but online you can. And that freedom that online worship gives you to sing. And also we know of just the greater reach that online worship has been having in this time. More people are tuning in on Sundays than maybe we're able to go regularly into a church for worship. So that's kind of a neat deal. And we need to kind of keep that in terms of our song, but also our evangelism and our reach and our care into the community.
And of course, what is lost right now is not being able to sing right next to someone else, which is how your voice sometimes finds a melody. So that's why I say to just have an accompaniment, a piano playing or an organ doesn't really help unless you have a voice that someone else can hear that they can rely on if they're not such a strong singer. It's difficult to sing alone. So
and
having some...
The loneliness factor too, if you're alone in your house and just singing out with only the accompaniment, but if you hear a voice of another joining your voice, even though you're muted and they can't hear you, I think there's something to that in terms of how we care for people. Tom, there's a question about streaming and licensing.
Yeah, I think, you know, each publisher is a little bit different. You know, if you go to onelicense.net, I'm sure they have their COVID rules on there. They've been very generous during the first months of COVID. I don't know, I haven't been there recently, but usually some similar requirements are required for online singing, and that you have to provide the copyright information on your slides or whatever you're using. But just check out those rules for each publisher, whether it's CCLI or onelicense.net or whatever you're using.
Mm-hmm. We wanted to take some time. We Don't have so much time, but we wanted to take some time to talk about some different creative things that we're doing, that you're doing, and that we would have a way to share that in community. One of the things that I found for our community that's been really wonderful, and I saw somebody put this in there, that they're doing morning prayer with their community. At some point, I just have too much screen time, and I can't sit on another Zoom call or another anything with a screen. And so this idea was hatched of a podcast of prayer that could go with you wherever you would go. Like you could just put it in a podcast and take a walk outside, or maybe get the dog out for its exercise, or maybe you had to drive to the grocery store, but that prayer that could come wherever you are. And so we created something called the Liturgy of the Hours, and it's a podcast put out by the seminary. And this season, season two, we're offering morning prayer. There will be an episode that drops tomorrow. So if you're a podcast person or know people who are podcast people who are trying to find ways to connect, that's a free and open resource. And we've got some super great musicians leading that. Tom and Mary lead weeks, and Michael Morris just led a week. Rachel Kurtz is coming up on a week. So we've got some good people leading some good music and kind of just rooting us in prayer, knowing that our community is scattered and yet gathered. And so that's been one of the cool creative things that we've been able to do. Tom?
Yeah, I'll just give a couple examples of from our saviors. For Pentecost, we had a drive-by reading of the Pentecost story. It was very cool. We had people lined up in cars outside the church, hanging out of their windows and reading a portion of the Pentecost story. And we just went, took the microphone down and went to each car and read the Pentecost story that way. Sometimes after the service at Our Savior's, we have different groups of people that will come to the church with masks on outside for various rituals. One week it was the blessing of Lutheran Volunteer Corps volunteers beginning their new year. Another week it was blessing all the three-year-olds who received their Bibles on that day. Another day we had people come and pick up pizzas that were baked in the church's outdoor pizza oven. In addition to real pizza, everyone got a faith formation kit inside of another pizza box for individuals and families to use in their homes that included activities for all ages. I'm going to share one more thing that I want to say is a creative idea. If you have anyone in your parish that is good at movement, I just think people are feeling really disembodied these days with worship online. And if you can involve any kind of gesture or movement, especially, well, I guess this is really limited to Zoom, but I'm just going to ask you right now to all free your hands and switch to gallery view if you can, and sing this prayer response with me. The words are, "Oh God, hear us. Hear our prayer." And it sounds like, it looks like this. Join me. It sounds like this. Something like that during a prayer time can, I think, bring another sense to worship that is often missing from online worship. At Jenny, do we want to just open it up for other people to offer, even vocally now,
yeah,
their ideas?
We have some time here to just share what you've been learning and what you've been doing. What is something you would offer in this time that you've been kind of figuring out in this holy experiment? Anybody have something to share, what they've experienced or figured out for themselves?
You can raise your hand or just jump in and we'll... Yeah, Shannon?
I've been leading some Zoom worship, and I found it very helpful to get a standing desk because it just didn't feel right to be preaching from my chair. So I have put my computer up on a standing desk and lead the service that way, and it feels much more natural and normal for me to do it that way.
Thanks for that helpful comfort.
Lee, I see, is ready to go.
Yes, I'm in a small rural area with very, very limited internet access in many of the homes in regards to Zoom and the streaming kinds of things. And at the very beginning, I used a MP3 recorder to record worship, especially when it was... there was nobody. We were in the sanctuary, just the organist and I, and download it to soundcloud.com. I don't know, Tom, if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And it's very simple. And then I just put the link in an email and people can click on that link and it opens up my private SoundCloud account and then they can listen online. And we are continuing to do that with indoor worship. And when we were outside, I continued to record those. And I've found that that works for people who don't know how to do Zoom, can't do YouTube, but they can click on a link in an email. Yeah. And so that's how we've been doing it. And some of the people who attend in person have said that they go back and listen to them again. It's not ideal, but at least they're getting something.
Thanks, Lee. I know one congregation that does their entire service over the phone. It's just one big, huge conference call. Again, now that's live worship without video, but they've been able to overcome those technological barriers for some people by just doing a phone call. And then at the end, I think most people are muted, and at the end, they have a coffee hour on the phone.
And some have been using radio, which is really cool. And Tom, I think, did you have a church member call in a reading and leave a recording of a reading for the Easter Vigil? That was really, I remember listening to that. That was really amazing.
Other creative things that are going on where you are? Yeah, Amy.
Well, we talked about it a little bit, but I've had the opportunity at least a few times. Previously we always had one worship a month that was called Family Life Sunday. Families worshiping together and kids participating in worship. And so we did some of that. We were able to do some of it on Zoom. And so we had kids from their homes reading scripture, giving the blessing, we have a reading the dismissal and doing some of those things. So it really brought some life to our online time because we'd been doing it for a while at that point and not really seeing a lot of families participate. So that was very helpful. We're no longer doing Zoom worship, but we've done some recording and been able to do some of the same things where we've had kids and families participate in those ways. And I don't know, at least for me, and I heard that from a lot of other people, it really brought some life and people want to see each other and they want to see our kids and connect in those ways. So that was a really nice way of involving a lot of different people.
Great. I know there's a couple of questions in the chat about outdoor worship. I just don't have a lot of experience, so maybe someone else can comment. I think up here in Minnesota, as we're getting into October, I think there's fewer people talking about that right now, but some have had some good experiences with that. I just haven't been part of a community that's done that. So, Pastor Pete.
I see Pastor Pete, and I see Nancy also. So Pete and then Nancy.
There we go. We've been doing an outdoor worship service since the end of June. And I've told my congregation that, well, I'm up in Bemidji, Minnesota, so we're even further north than, you know, you Southerners down the cities. Yeah. There was frost on the altar yesterday morning. I've got an outdoor altar that I use, and I had to scrape the frost off of that to be able to set up for worship. And I told my congregation, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing choices.
Right.
But I might start to regret that. So we have outdoor PA system plus the radio transmitter to broadcast out to the cars. So I still had 7 people that sat in lawn chairs, and then the rest of them sat in their cars. And then what I had been doing was doing a video recording of that and then putting it together as a video. But oddly enough, I felt disconnected from the online folks. It wasn't a live stream or anything, but when I had people there, I was ignoring the camera totally. And so it was more of just, the people that were watching online were just kind of observing. Whereas I feel if I do something just one-on-one with the camera, and I feel like I connect a little better, or I engage the camera more. So
maybe a ritual thing that involves fire, like a fire pit. Yeah. Coming up into this season. So in Jerusalem, we always had to scrape the bird poop off the altar. We had a nice altar on the Mount of Olives. And it was always like, well, got to clean the altar again. But Nancy, you're next. What did you want to say? Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, much like Pete, we've been worshiping outside. I serve 2 congregations near Green Bay, Wisconsin. And it was pretty chilly yesterday morning at the first service. But, people sit outside at Lambeau Field to watch the Packers, and it's 20 below for many hours. And so a lot of folks are just bundling up and toughing it out. But we also use an FM transmitter that's plugged into the portable sound system. And then it's got about a 300-yard range, so parking lot size, so people can drive up and listen in their cars. And the free frequency is 87.9 around here, but I don't know if it's different, you find it in your area or whatever. And that works pretty well. And once the weather does turn, which it will here pretty soon, at least a camera person and I, or the musician and I, depending on which church I'm at the time, we'll go inside and transmit from inside the building so people can still drive up. And the folks that are coming are the ones that are not able or willing to do the online thing and don't have a computer, or don't use a computer, don't have access. So it's a small amount, a group of people. We also send everything out via email and regular mail every week, but this is the way we've been able to do in person. I question right now with the Wisconsin infection rate the way it is, if that's even safe, but so far we've been doing well.
And do you have a way for those people to participate? Do they have a bulletin in their car, or is there somewhere that they can be participants rather than just observers?
We send out the email bulletin. Some people print it. We do also hand out bulletins if someone really needs one. We try to limit that, but we do offer that. Most people print it and bring it with them.
I like the honk to say amen. And Nancy, do I understand you have multiple parishes you're leading?
Yeah.
You have 2. Are you combining stuff together then? Or how does that work with a multiple point parish?
I'm 8:30 in Brilliant and 10:30 in De Pere. So we're doing it twice. I pack up all the equipment, throw it in the back of my car, and do it again. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well done. That's a lot.
Well, what are you going to do?
Right.
We've got time for a couple more comments.
Yeah.
Anybody? I can't see all the screens, so you might have to holler.
Oh, I saw one. Is it Serene?
Serena. One of the things that we were doing before COVID was that for the prayers of the people, we would recruit people as they were coming in to read the various petitions. And obviously we couldn't do that once we went to Facebook Live and didn't have the people there. But we record the prayers of the people before in the middle of the week so that we can have multiple voices leading those prayers, even though we're not present together. And then if there's some need to make things more topical, I just add a petition at the end.
Now, is there a reason that people can't come in to do the prayers? I'm just thinking of my situation at Our Saviors, where we have someone just drives into the church and they're in the in a different room, I mean, out in the lobby area doing the prayers, and we take the camera out to them.
We made a commitment to keep our streaming team very small.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Our area was one of the real hot spots early in the pandemic. Our county was very high in numbers at the right at the beginning. And so we do have one assisting minister who comes in to serve as lector and to do some of the prayers. Mm-hmm. But we just didn't think it would be safe to bring in half a dozen people to each read a petition.
Yeah, we just bring in one per week or one every other week, and we have them be in the narthex, and the camera person has a mask on, and the prayer takes the mask off, does the prayers, puts a mask back on, and is not in the sanctuary at all. So that's our way of sort of trying to find that balance. But I appreciate your concern for safety.
Yeah, and we're using Zoom for the prayers, but our service is on Facebook Live.
Got it.
I think that we've come to we need to wrap up. Now, there was a comment before about cacophonous and that it doesn't work well. It's one of our favorite things in our Luther community because we can hear each other and pray the Lord's Prayer together. And some of us pray in English and some of us pray in Swahili and some of us pray in a lot of different languages. And we all have different voices, and it rattles around, and it kind of makes us feel like we're in some great cloud of witnesses so that we're not alone. So we're going to practice that together here. You just read slowly and offer the prayer as you are able to. So I invite you to unmute and join me in this prayer. Our Father in heaven.
Hallowed
be
your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who sin against us.
In the time of trial.
And deliver us from evil.
The kingdom,
power, glory, and glory are yours,
now and forever.
Amen. Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I thought it was wonderful. I have a blessing now for you all, and I just invite you to raise your hands as we bless one another. I think I was able to do that. Raise your hands with me here. May your learning continue, and may you dwell in the grace and wonder of your holy experiments. May your community support you as you offer support. And may you know that it is enough. May you venture still into the unknown of our new lived virtual real reality. And may you feel Christ's presence in your midst. May you rest in the arms of love. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for your time here today. Blessings and peace in this hopefully time away from all of the work you do. Thank you for the work you do on behalf of Christ Church and the gospel. We are in this work together. So thanks be to God for all of you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.